Well, if you're glad you're in church tonight, will you say amen?
Amen.
If you prayed for your pastor today, can you say amen?
Amen.
That got a little weak right there. You should pray for your pastor every day. What about, did you enjoy the message that Brother Boone brought this morning? Say amen.
Amen.
If you're glad Brother Boone's not here tonight, say amen. I got you, did I? I got you. I was wondering if y'all would catch on to that. But anyway, y'all do pray for him as he's away, and pray that he kills lots of deer, and that way he can put some food on this table, on y'all's table as well. If you have your Bibles tonight, go ahead and turn to the book of 2 Chronicles chapter 7. 2 Chronicles chapter 7. I'd like to read a verse that's very familiar to you tonight. Let me say I appreciate the hearing of a lot of things that you're doing here. As the announcements were being read, I was very impressed at everything that's going on, and that's great. Always plan things, always do things. Since I've come back to Virginia, and since the church I was helping got a full-time pastor, and of course I'm in the process of trying to get a church myself right now, but I've been to many churches here lately, and it's amazing the deadness of churches. I mean, you'd be surprised. You walk in and it just feels like it's ice cold. Y'all have a warm welcome tonight. Appreciate that. That's a great testimony on y'all's part to be able to come in and feel the presence of the Lord. You don't have to have large crowds to feel God's presence.
Amen.
You have to just have people that are willing to want to follow the Lord to have the presence of God. What I'd like to get on tonight, the song the girls sung, I like that song. How great is our God? I filled out a questionnaire for a church. 2 weeks ago I did. And this church is stuck in of doing nothing but hymns. I like hymns. I went to a church, or the New Hope, a couple weeks back, and they were letting the preachers pick out the songs for the night. So the choir director came to me and says, "What hymns do you like?" I said, "I don't like hymns. I like hers." Y'all catch on in a minute. But anyway, I do like hymns. But I was trying to, the songs. But in this questionnaire, it was talking about the type music and tape music. This church plays nothing but stuff on the piano. And I tried to explain some churches don't have the opportunity or the means of having a great piano player at their church. So tape music is great, you know, and if it's God honoring, I think it's great. And of course, I told them what I thought about music. And of course, I got a letter in the mail yesterday. My feelings didn't get hurt at all, trust me. They are not interested in me at all. Thank God. You know, I don't want to go to a church that you're so backed up in the past. And I let them know, I said, you know, there are people in their day and time that has written songs that are God-honoring. That just like people back in the day wrote songs back then that were God-honoring, and we should sing those songs if they're God-honoring. And that's just the way I feel. But anyway, appreciate those songs. Okay, if you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. Be much in prayer for me tonight. I was in bed 2 days this past week. Thank goodness I finally got out of bed. I was in bed on Monday and Tuesday. I had that crud going around, and I was trying to shake Ruth's hand back there. She wouldn't even touch me. She's the only person in the entire church that would not shake my hand. Of course, y'all know why, though. Y'all know why she didn't shake my hand. But anyway, I'm just glad to be out of bed now. I'd like to read in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, in verse 14. The Bible says, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, and will forgive their sin, and will heal their land." Y'all have heard this verse preached many times, haven't you?
Amen.
I'm not going to give you anything different tonight that you haven't already heard. Hopefully I can be a challenge to you tonight. I'd like to preach on tonight conditions of revival. I want you to notice all, first of all, it said in verse 1, "If my people..." Now, this is talking about God's people. What are God's people? First of all, God's people are a redeemed people. You know, we were redeemed with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. Don't ever take that lightly. You know, we just celebrated Veterans Day a couple weeks back. And I don't know about you, but I'm very thankful for men and women who sacrificed their lives for me to have freedom. I'm very appreciative of that. When I sub at the high school or the middle school, I always stand up at attention with my hand across my heart. And in front of all the kids at both schools, I always say the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag. Every class that I do, I honor that and I appreciate that. But now God's people are a redeemed people. Now think about it. If it wasn't for Jesus Christ dying on the cross for our sins, if Jesus Christ had not redeemed us, then think about where we'd be at tonight if we were not redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. So we are a redeemed people. By being a redeemed people, with Thanksgiving coming this coming Thursday, we should just thank God that He died on the cross for our sins, that He redeemed us from the very pits of hell. Amen. But then I think of something else about God's people. When you think about God's people being a redeemed people, God's people, and I hope y'all are going to do this as soon as I make mention of this next word, should be a rejoicing people. I want you to look at somebody, just grin real quick, will you? Just smile. We should be happy. Now, if you're sad tonight, it's probably because your football team lost. But that part's over. We're in God's house tonight. Forget about the sorry, whatever team you have. But anyway, I love football too. I watched it today myself. Love it. But we should be rejoicing in what we do. I mean, when I walked in tonight and I saw these young people on the stage practicing, that made me rejoice to see young people being a part of the service. And y'all going to enjoy them in a couple weeks from now. But we have something to rejoice about. I mean, think about the nice church God's given you tonight to be in. Amen. This is nice. I remember, and I've preached when the church was in this other part of the building, and people that were behind the poles had to look around the pole to see the preacher. I remember that. But God has blessed you with a nice building. God has also blessed you with a nice wife. I wait for you to say amen, Brian. Go ahead. Okay. I had to look at him and get an amen out of him on that one. But anyway. But God, what I'm getting at tonight, we should be rejoicing because God has blessed us with so many different things. But then the third thing about God's people is we should be a responsible people. Now, God's given us all something to do. You do a great job of leading the church. Appreciate what you do. Amen. He's got that voice. He has the presence. And he just does a great job of what he does. Amen. So, you know, we have a responsibility to do what God has given us to do. You may think, well, God has not given me anything large to do. Well, let me state that the church cannot operate unless the small things are done. If God's given you something small to do, just be responsible in the small things God's given you to do. Amen? Amen? But as you notice in verse 14 starts off with a condition, if. Now, like everything else, the blessing of revival has a condition. Now, if you want to hear from heaven, you have to meet the conditions if you want to hear from heaven. Now, today as we was watching football, there were conditions in order to have a football game. The very first condition was there had to be a ball. Without a ball, you can have no football game. The second thing you must have is players on the field, enough players. You have to have players, and then you have to have a field to play on in order to have a football game. There are conditions in order to have a football game. Now, in order to have a church, there are conditions. Now, the very first condition is, if you're going to have a good church or a New Testament Baptist church is, the very first thing you must have is God. Amen. If you don't have God, you just have a meeting place. You must have God. Now, the second thing you must have, you must have a pastor. I can truly say you have a good pastor. You know how I know you have a good pastor? He told me. No, I'm just joking. He did. I've known Brother Daniel for years and years and years, and I can truly say that Brother Daniel backs what he preaches. He backs and lives what he preaches. And God has sent y'all a great man of God here. You must have a preacher. You must have God, and you must have a preacher. But then also, you must have people. Now, without you being here, can you imagine Brother Boone getting the pulpit preaching with nobody sitting there? So in order to have a church, you must have people, and thank God that you're part of the people that God has led here to represent Valley View Baptist Church. Thank God for that. But there's also one other thing you must have if you're going to have a church. You must have a field to work in. Now, where's this field at? I know a little bit about Buchanan. I taught at James River this past week. This past week, I brought my lawnmower next door to y'all to have it serviced because I might want to cut some grass next week. You got it, didn't you? Normally, I do it in the springtime, but I would have done it early. So I know a little bit about Buchanan. So there again, when you walk through these doors back here, you have a field to go out here and work on, door to door to door, and people. That is the field for Valley View Baptist Church. If you're going to have a church, you have to have a field to work in. Now, I want you to notice in this verse there are four conditions if you're going to have revival. The first condition is being humble. Now, I don't know about you, but that's very far and few in between of people today. You don't see humility anymore in the day and time that we live in. It says you must be humble. The second thing it says, you must pray. Now, how often should we pray? I know that Daniel, the Bible says that Daniel prayed 3 times a day. But how much and how often should we pray? Now that we know in the book of Thessalonians says that we are to pray without ceasing. So in other words, we are to have the thought of prayer on our mind continually as we do things. We should always be praying about things and doing things and praying. So being humble and praying, but then it says to seek my face. Now, what does it really mean to seek the face of God? You remember when you was looking for a church? I rode down through Buck Cannon a gob of times, but it seems like last week it just kind of hit me all of a sudden. You go down through the streets of Buck Cannon, I mean, there's churches everywhere down there. How do you know what church to go to? I mean, Buchanan's not a large place. Y'all know everybody, right? Everybody knows everybody? Basically. So, I mean, it's not a very large place. And down through Buchanan, if I remember, there are like 4 churches down that way. You have 1 church here. And there's another church back this way, right? I think there's another back this way. So that's, 6 churches within a matter of just a couple miles of each other? How did you know what church to go to? How did you know what church to choose? What you did was you sought the face of God. And as you begin to seek the face of God, was it not God that revealed to you to come to Valley View Baptist Church, to be here, to work in the ministry, to help build this ministry up? Did not God lead you here as you sought it? So first of all, it says to humble yourselves, to pray, to seek the face of God. Then the 4th condition, that verse says that you need to turn from your wicked ways. You say, well, I come to church every Sunday. I'm a pretty good old fella. You're a good fella in whose eyes? Right? Man, I treat people right. I'm telling you, sin's right here in front of us all the time. Amen? And if you're not careful, now we live in this fleshly old nature. Just because I got saved and received Christ as my Savior, my old nature is still here. I was at New Hope today and this guy was going to act like he was just joking. He was acting like he's going to tip my dessert plate over. I looked at him, I said, his name was Ray. I said, listen, Ray, I'm no longer the pastor. I'll punch you in the face now. Before I couldn't do it. I was just joking, you know, but... But, you know, if you're not careful, you can get in the flesh very fast. Somebody say something about you. And, I mean, just like that. I mean, that could get under your skin. And you can sin against God just like that. So we must turn from our wicked ways if we're going to hear from heaven. Then we need the outpouring of the Holy Spirit to touch our lives if we're going to have revival. Now, we have the Holy Spirit living right here within us, right? Right here within our heart, we have the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now, if we want to have revival, we just need the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And where does it start? It starts right here with me. Can you look at yourself? Which I know you can't. But it's just a thought. Can you talk to yourself real quick and just say to yourself out loud, it starts with me? Did everybody, let's do it again. Who's it start with?
It starts with me.
Now, with that in mind, I just want to give you just a couple points tonight. And I promise you I won't be too long. Well, you don't preach every week. You try to preach as much as you can, but I promise I won't be too long. First of all, there must be a consciousness of the need of revival. There must be a consciousness of the need of revival. Now, what are we to understand about revival? Now, I don't know about you, but I believe that we need revival. Amen. Not just in our churches. I believe America needs revival. I mean, we just had an election, and things are going to change, and things will change. It doesn't matter what president would have got in, things are going to automatically change. America needs revival. But now, where does revival start? Revival starts with me. If I'm waiting for somebody else to help get revival moving, then you're not following the plan of God. Revival must start with me. So what am I to understand about revival? Well, we know the big revival verse is Psalms 85, verse 6. The Bible says, "Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee?" Now, I want you to think about that verse. Wilt thou not revive us again? You know, the children of Israel, I mean, they were so happy to leave Egypt, were they not? I mean, they were on cloud nine 2 weeks later. On cloud nine 2 weeks later, after they left Egypt, they started complaining. They were in bondage for all these years, and they finally got out of bondage, and 2 weeks later, they started complaining. Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? Now, evidently, here was a group of people that did not see the need of being revived again. Now, is not revival, in a sense, trying to gain something that's been lost? Now, think about this. If you don't feel about God the same way you felt about God when you first got saved, then you need revival. I don't know about you, but God in my life has gotten greater as time's gone on. I mean, as I look to God now and as my faith has increased in God, and as I live my life every day, I mean, people says, aren't you concerned about not preaching right now? I'm right where God wants me at right now. But knowing where I'm right where God wants me around, why should I complain of the spot that God has placed me in? God has me in this spot for a reason. I don't need to know what the reason is. All I need to do is just look to God and have faith in God. So if I don't look to God the way I used to look to God, then I need revival. Now, let's talk about Brother Boone again. If you don't think about your pastor the way you used to think about your pastor, of course, that could be a two-way street, the way you, depending on how you think about that. But in your eyes, if Brother Daniel used to be a good pastor, but now he's not a good pastor, then you need revival.
Amen.
And if Brother Daniel is not what he should be in your eyes, then how many Sundays do you come down to the altar and pray for him? That he'll get to where you feel like he needs to be at. But it's not where you feel like he needs to be at. He needs to be at where God wants him to be at. Amen?
Amen?
So there again, if you don't feel that same way about your pastor as you once did, then you need revival. What about the lost? I mean, we live in a world, the day and time we live in, everybody's saved. Am I right? You go by and talk to people, everybody's saved. I don't care who you talk to, everybody today is saved. But if you don't feel the same way about lost people as you used to feel about lost people, then you need revival.
Amen.
This one church that I've tried out for is it's in right outside of Shelby, North Carolina, where I actually got married years ago. But this little place is in a place. I have a sister, the sister that's just right above me. Her name's Diane. Y'all don't know who Diane is, do you? Y'all never met her, have you? That's why I can give you her name. You've never met her, you've never seen her. But my sister Diane is an alcoholic. She won't admit she's an alcoholic, but she comes home from work every day and drinks vodka straight. Every day. Straight. She's an alcoholic. My dad passed away 5 years ago, and my Diane told me, as I spoke to her, and I was just very blunt with her, and I talked to her, and she promised me, she says, Mike, I promise you, within a week or two, I'm going to get back in church. That was 5 years ago, and guess what? Not one time has she been in church. When my wife passed away 3 years ago, I talked to her again, and I said, Diane, I talked to her about her salvation. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm a believer that we're known by our works. The Bible's very plain about that. And all these years she has not been in church. I can't tell you how many years she has not been in church. She don't want to go to church. She don't care about church. And when I talk about God in front of her, sometimes she cusses me out. She don't want to hear it. And this has gone on year after year after year. Well, when my wife passed away, again, she promised me, Mike, I promise you, this time I'm going to get in church. Guess what? She's still not in church. My heart is breaking for her. Now, it could be, I don't know, it could be the Lord may open that church up for me in Grover, North Carolina, right outside of Shelby. She has promised me, or she has promised my mom that if the Lord gives me that church in Grover, North Carolina, she'll come to it. She'll have to because I'll go pick her up. Because I know where she lives at. I've been to her house. But you know, again, if we don't have the sensation about lost people the way we used to, then we need revival. Amen. Now again, revival, again, is a sensation of gaining something that you've lost. Now, there's a story in the Old Testament. I know you're very familiar with it. Here's this church that was really, really growing. God's house was growing. This man takes an axe, and it was a borrowed axe. He didn't have one, so he borrowed an axe. He went down by the waterway, and the Bible says he was felling a beam. I mean, he was taking that axe, and man, he was just chopping away at that tree, and he was felling or chopping that tree down. And when he was chopping that tree down, the end of the axe fell off into the water, and his power was gone. Now, he could have took that stick, and he could have easily just beat that tree to death, but that tree would not have fallen because the power that was on the end of the handle was gone. He recognized it, so he stopped swinging the axe. He called for the man of God. The man of God came over, and he says, where did the axe head go? And the man showed him where it went. Now, this, you want to hear about a miracle. This is exactly what the Bible says. The Bible says, as the man of God spoke, that axe head swam to the top of the water. That's exactly what the word God's word. I mean, can you imagine seeing that? Something so heavy, a piece of metal, and it comes swimming to the top of the water, and guess what? He got his power back. Now, that's the same thing about revival. Sometimes there are people who come to church every day, week in and week out, or every week, and, you know, things just keep on going smoothly, and you have the song service, you have the preaching, you go home, you come back, do the same thing the next week, and to them, man, things are going great. But little do they realize they have lost their power with God. Although they're going through the formality, they're just not accomplishing nothing for God because they have lost their power with God.
So, you know, again, it's that sensation of gaining something that's been lost and getting it back to where you can be used again for God. Now, revival also means to return to the former state or condition. Now, again, what were you doing for God that you're no longer doing, that's no longer a priority? Now, let me give you a good one. This is something that I think that we all fell in. When is the last time that you purposely were a blessing to somebody? There's a man in New Hope. His wife was buried on Friday. I think she's buried Friday. And I couldn't go to the funeral. I was teaching school. And so I saw this man today. And I, of course, went over and talked to him. And he's a little bit older than I am. Just kind of let him know and give him a little bit of advice of what I've gone through. And maybe just try to help the man out. I was trying to be a blessing to this guy. I mean, he was just in tears today at church. He was in just such big tears today. But when was the last time that you searched out somebody, that you were a blessing to somebody? A few weeks back, Brother Brian and Danielle was a blessing to me. I don't need to tell you why. God knows why. But they were a blessing to me. That man right back there, Mike, he was a blessing to me a couple weeks back. You'll never know just by being a blessing to somebody what it does to an individual. So when was the last time that you were a blessing to somebody? I'm not saying you have to give money. I'm just saying to go to somebody and be a friend to a person who needs a friend. Amen? Amen. I mean, have you ever noticed sometimes at church that people sit by themselves and, I mean, we're all different. I mean, some people talk, and I'm not going to look at nobody. Right? I mean, some people have no trouble talking. I've seen people, I'm asking myself sometimes, how do they think about all this stuff to say? I'd run out of stuff to say. But sometimes people, they just talk. They never run out of anything to say. But then you have that next individual in your church that they just sit back like a little quiet mouse. They don't say nothing. They're shy, they're backward, and they don't want to say nothing. You say something to them, they get embarrassed. But, you know, sometimes people just need to be talked to. And just by you talking, that can be a blessing. That don't cost you anything. Amen? Or just go to somebody's house and pray with them. I can't tell you how many times out in parking lots that I've seen people and just ask them how they're doing, and I could tell they wasn't doing well. And so I asked them, I said, you're having some problems, aren't you? They said, yeah. I said, let's just pray right here. Out in the middle of a parking lot, we just stop and pray. And you'll never know just by just a prayer what a blessing. So what about your priorities? Maybe you were doing these things before, but you're no longer doing these things. So again, you know, it's doing things for God if you want to have revival. Now, number two tonight, there must be a firm belief in the possibility of revival. Do you believe that Valley View can still have revival? Does everybody believe that? What about doubt? The lack of experience of revival brings doubt. I'm not going to ask how old you are tonight. I know how most of you are. Anyone are close? Let's just use the 45. Sorry, Mike, you're over 45. I'm sorry. If you're 45 and below, chances are you've never seen revival. Am I right? I mean, I can recall as a teenager, my dad calling a revival of the church, and their church was so full, every night, not just, you know, one night, every night, nothing special put on, no prizes given, no contest run, but there were so many people in the church, there were chairs put out, and on the altar call at the end of the service, the altars were full of people, and I mean, people were getting saved every night, because people were bringing lost people to the church and they heard the gospel, and every night the altars were full. I haven't seen that in years. Amen. Have y'all seen that here? So we think about the possibility of revival. If we have a lack of experience in revival, and we're going through a generation now that has never seen revival, can this generation that we live in today see revival? Now, I know y'all have heard this. I'm going to bring it as an illustration again, but I was amazed at what took place in Burlington, North Carolina, a couple months back. Started out with a church just praying. They said, we're just going to do nothing but pray. Here's a group of people that got on their knees, and they begin to pray. They prayed, and they prayed weeks before revival even started. And their thing is, Lord, give us revival on the very first night. I think they had like 356 people that came to the church. The church held about 600 people. And we would say, well, that's a fairly good crowd for a Monday night for revival. The church is a little over halfway full. And we'd probably go home that night saying, praise God for the huge crowd we had. Well, they didn't stop. They kept praying. By the end of the week, this church had 900 people coming. By the end of the first weekend, they were putting people in rooms. And eventually, y'all know the story, they got this huge tent. And they were running like 5,000 people on some nights. And in 13 weeks, they finally shut the revival down, and 1,250 souls were saved. Amen. If it could happen in Burlington, North Carolina, in the day and time we live in, then it can also happen here. Amen. In Virginia. Amen? Now let's think about the history of revival. Now I know that none of us was around in the Church of Philadelphia. If you study the book of Revelation in chapter 2 and chapter 3, you know those are the seven churches mentioned. And if you know anything about churches, you know that we are living in the Laodicean church age, the very last church age mentioned in the book of Revelation. But in the church age right before us, the Philadelphia church age, it means brotherly love. And during that church age, they were having all kinds of revivals, and revivals were breaking out. People were getting saved. And, you know, that was our great-great-grandparents, our great-great-great-great-grandparents. They were living during that age. And we had a woman when I was in Roanoke before that died at the age of 106, and she came in right on the tail end of that. But most of those people that came in on the tail end of that, most of those people are dead now. But yet God really blessed the Church of Philadelphia, and that was one church age that God didn't even tell them to repent, because they were living right, doing right, and living the lifestyle, but yet they were having great revivals. So history says it can happen again. Has not God changed? Do y'all believe the same blood that was shed on the cross over 2,000 years ago is still the same blood that saves people today?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And does not the Bible say that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance? So there again, God has not changed. He's the same today, yesterday, and forever. So knowing that Jesus came to this world and died on the cross for all sins should tell us if God has not changed, then God still wants us to experience revival and draw closer to Him.
Amen.
And then third of all, I know my time, so I went through that one a little bit faster. Now, there must be a strong sense of urgency of revival. Now, look at the love that people have for God today. I mean, you look at churches. Churches are declining, and it doesn't bother anybody. I mean, if you had your own business, and your bottom line kept shrinking and shrinking and shrinking, you'd be finding out why you were losing money in your business, to at least get things leveled out and then figure out how to make it grow again. You do all you could. But then we look at churches, it's just like churches is not the priority again, and churches don't see the urgency that churches attendance are declining, 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 but yet your average person in the pew does not have that sense of urgency to see that it's declining. Don't really care about that it's declining. Now we treat church like an activity. If I tell y'all something tonight, y'all promise not to let it get through these doors. Who said yes? I don't believe a word you just said. No, I'm just joking with you. We all go to Walmart, right? Y'all go to Walmart? You go to Walmart because you need something. You go to Walmart because you need some groceries or you want to buy something that you need. That's why you go to Walmart. Now, here's what I want you to tell. Don't tell nobody this part. I shouldn't tell you all this. I was at home one night. My son was out with some young people. I didn't want to be home by myself. You know where I went? I went to Walmart. You know what I did at Walmart? I got a buggy. I took my buggy. You know what I did that night? I was pushing my buggy around. You know what was in my buggy? Nothing. But I was having fun pushing my buggy around. I was pushing my buggy around. I'd see somebody. I'd stop for a few minutes. I'd start talking to somebody. Some people I've never seen before. I was just talking. Why? I just want something to do. For me, it was an activity. Stop laughing at me, Ruth. But, you know, that's the way that sometimes people treat churches. They treat churches like an activity. You know, if I don't have anything else to do and I want something to do, then I think I'll get in my car and I'll drive down to Valley View Baptist Church and I'll attend a service just because I don't want to stay at home by myself today. Or, you know, my old wife, she's been on my back and she's been fussing a little bit, and maybe if I take her to church, she may get right with God and leave me alone. That's kind of the mentality sometimes that we have. I know I could have said it the other way around, but I'm the man. That's why I said it that way. But, you know, again, we treat church like an activity. But, again, this is God's house. And in God's house, we come here to worship God. We come here to draw ourselves closer to God. So, you know, we should have that urgency that, you know, that's what I said a few minutes ago about being a blessing to somebody. If you see somebody that hadn't been here, don't wait for Brother Boone or one of the deacons to go see her or him. Give them a call or go by the house. They may just be sitting there waiting for somebody to call them. You be that blessing, and you get that sense of urgency to maybe draw that brother or sister back into the congregation that wasn't coming. I had a couple at New Hope. Sometimes you're not careful, you kind of get put on the back burner and you don't get noticed. I'm going to be the first to say that. This couple I married years ago, and they told me this. Of course, the preacher, I talked to the preacher about it too, and I keep my nose out of that business. I go visit there. I'm not the pastor there, so I don't listen to nobody talking. I want y'all to know that, okay? But anyway, this couple's telling me that they got really aggravated because they felt like that nobody was paying attention to them. So they stopped going to the church for 3 months, and nobody noticed. And they'd been coming there for years. Nobody noticed. And they asked me, and I told them, I said, you need to call the pastor. And I stayed out of it. I said, you just need to call the pastor. So they called a meeting, called the pastor, and talked to the pastor. And the pastor apologized because he got busy. You know, if you're not careful as a pastor, you have so many things you have to do that sometimes you get overlooked. That's where you come into the picture, to where you can be that blessing, to where you can help that encourage that person to get back in church. That maybe they've been out for a while and maybe they hadn't been here, but just by them hearing from someone in the church and having that sense of urgency could encourage them to join the church back again and get busy for God and grow the church back. Amen? Amen. Y'all agree with that? Have one more point. Can we say amen there? That means I'm about done. The last of all tonight is there must be an earnest desire for revival. Now, the Bible says in the book of Psalm 65, verse 9, it says, thou visitest the earth and waterest it. Thou greatly enrichest it with the river of God, which is full of water. Thou preparest them corn when thou hast so provided for it. Now, this is speaking of a little lad by the name of David. Now, David was a man or a boy that was born in Bethlehem. And, of course, David was born on a farm. And maybe some of you have worked on a farm. I call myself a city limit dude. I've never been on a farm, but I've never lived in a city. I've been in between, so I'm a city limit dude.
Yeah, I guess that's what I call myself.
But anyway, David was a man that had grabbed the plow behind that ox, and man, that's one tough man that can do that. And he had been behind that plow. He had planted the seed into the ground. But yet he knew that once he got that seed planted there was a certain time for planting the seed into the ground. David knew that. But the greatest thing that David knew was that once he put that seed into the ground, that he depended upon God to send the rains down from the heaven for that seed to grow. And without the help of God, then his crops that was in the ground would not grow. David knew where the blessings of his labor came from. Now let me read you another verse in the book of Psalms. It says in Psalms 107, verse 9, it says, "For he satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness." Now this speaks about Israel, who was like a lost person in the desert. They were thirsty, they were hungry, and their soul fainted. Now we know that once they left Egypt, they complained about water. So what did God do? God had Moses take his rod, strike the rock, and what came out of the rock? Water. It was God who brought the satisfaction to quench the thirst. I mean, can you imagine how much water came out of that rock? I mean, it wasn't just a congregation this size that was walking through the desert. We're looking at approximately 2 million people that were walking, that were thirsty. So, I mean, imagine how much water that came from that rock. I mean, does that not make the miracle itself even greater, knowing that that little place gave that many people water, much water? But then they begin to complain about their food. Well, you know, in Egypt, man, we had all this good stuff down there, and I think it says something like leeks and onions, and man, I hate that kind of stuff. I used to hate it. I eat it now. Man, nothing good like putting some onions on something and giving it some flavor. Man, when I was young, I didn't start eating onions until I was like 32 years old. I missed out on the blessings of onions for 32 years. Didn't eat mayonnaise, cauliflower, broccoli, or none of this. I still don't eat liver, but anyway, that's beside the point. But I mean, but they were complaining. And what did God do? God spoke to Moses. Moses spoke to the people. Moses said, all you have to do is, in the morning time before the sun comes up, all you have to do is walk out your tent door, and on the ground, there's going to be a little thing on the frost. It's going to taste like a waffle honey. It was manna. Manna means, what is it? It was bread from heaven. All they had to do was just walk outside their tent, every day gather the blessings of God, and if they chose not to, the sun came out, then they missed out on the blessings of God because they didn't do it God's way. But where did it come from? It came from God. Now, let's tie this thing up about revival. If my people, which are called by my name, four conditions, shall humble themselves, pray, seek the face of God, turn from their wicked ways. Is that what that verse says? Then our next verse is very important. Then. Now the then is not going to happen until the conditions are met. Now, you can try to do what happens after then all you want to, but again, if you don't meet the conditions, it's just like Barney Fife one time, or no, I can't remember one of them old shows. No, Barney Fife was like too short or something, so he was trying to stretch him out to make him tall enough to be the... Y'all remember that episode? They did all they could to stretch that man out, to make him big enough. That's a funny show, isn't it? He had to meet those conditions in order to keep his job. Somehow they stretched him. Somehow they put weight on him. And he got to keep his job. There was a condition for him to keep his job. Just on your job, there are conditions for you to have your job. But in this verse, there are conditions. If you want revival, you meet the four conditions. Then let's read the rest of that verse. It says, "Then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land."
So now we come to the conclusion tonight, after we've gone over all these thoughts, that the conclusion is that we cannot have revival until we see the need for it and the desire to want it. But then we understand and realize that it is only God who can send it to us. And we have to look to God for revival. Amen? So I'm going to ask you again tonight before I close, do you want revival? Do you really want it? I mean, do you desire to have revival here at Valley View Baptist Church? I still think it starts with just calling people that are not here. Amen?
Amen.
I mean, I don't know your conditions here. I don't know if there's anybody that's not coming. I don't know. But God laid that upon my heart to say it for a reason. Amen?
Amen.
So there has to be somebody that may be being overlooked. Search that person out this week. Give them a call. And I guarantee you'll see a smile on Pastor Boone's face when he gets back next week. Because they got back in church. Amen?
Amen.
You want to keep a happy pastor?
Amen.
You ever read the book of Hebrews chapter 13? Go home tonight and read it. Especially verse 7, verse 17, verse 24, I think it is, 21, 24. Read those verses. It benefits you if you'll just read those verses and how you treat your pastor. Let's all stand tonight. Our Father, we thank you so much for this evening that you've given to us. Lord, again, we ask that you watch over Pastor Boone and Kyle and the others that have gone to spend some time together this week. Lord, keep them safe. Lord, tonight we're concerned about the invitation. Lord, just the thought, the challenge was put out there, Lord, about revival. Lord, we could all stand to have a little dose of revival in all of our lives. Lord, we could all stand to be even drawn and live closer to you than what we're doing right now. So, Lord, help us to see things in our lives that shouldn't be there. And Lord, help us to be drawn closer to Thee. Lord, help us to be a blessing to other people. Lord, may other people see Jesus Christ in us. Lord, just the very way we walk, the very way we just carry ourselves. Lord, may they recognize there's something different. And Lord, may they want what we have just by the way we carry ourselves. So Lord, send us revival. Be with your people. For it's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen.